Brothers and sisters, our gospel today is taken from the very beginning of the Gospel of St. Mark. And St. Mark is believed to be Peter's companion and his secretary, and so the tradition he's passing on is the tradition of St. Peter. What strikes me as significant in Mark's gospel is how confrontational it is. Now, casual observers may completely miss this fact that this gospel is an affront to the secular world. This affront begins from the very first line of the gospel, which reads, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." See, this opening sentence, which we may be tempted to skim over, actually packs quite a punch. It's a challenge to the Roman emperor, and a blatant one at that. The title Son of God was a title that was given to the Roman emperor. By calling Jesus the Son of God, St. Mark is making a very provoking statement. He's challenging the rule of the secular world and making the claim that it's not Caesar who is the Son of God. It's not Caesar who has legitimate power to rule, but rather it's this Jesus Christ about whom he's writing who is the true ruler. And making this claim even bolder is the fact that St. Mark isn't writing this from some place of remote hiding. He's writing this from Rome, right underneath Caesar's nose. It's hard for us to truly fathom the magnitude of this challenge, as we don't have any figure in our world today that's analogous to Caesar. Some people could make the argument that it would be akin to someone writing a book in D.C. called Jesus, the True President of the United States. But even this wouldn't carry the same impact. Unlike the President of the United States, Caesar wielded total and absolute power. So nobody dared to challenge Caesar. See, we expect every 4 years that someone's going to directly oppose and challenge the president. Not so with Caesar. Anyone who directly opposed Caesar was put to death. So from the very beginning of this gospel, St. Mark is picking a fight, knowing that doing so will likely lead to his death. What I find most astonishing is how unconcerned St. Mark seems in opposing Caesar. St. Mark unabashedly proclaims Jesus as the Christ and as the Son of God. He's not stupid. He knows that by referring to Jesus as the Son of God, he'll likely come to face to face with Caesar's ire, and he'll probably suffer a painful death. And yet he remains undeterred. Not because he's afraid of anything, but because he knows that Jesus is the one with true power. And so he boldly proclaims, not Caesar, but Jesus is the Son of God. And I greatly admire all of the martyrs and all of those who boldly proclaim, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. But as I look around our world today, I often wonder what they think of us. We tend to be a Christian people who proclaim Christ rather timidly. And we do so because we're afraid of acquiring a reputation, or we're afraid of being mocked, or perhaps we're afraid of losing our job. You know, the martyrs must think that when we make these excuses that we're just a bunch of half-hearted wimps. They didn't face losing their jobs, they faced losing their lives. And yet they didn't privatize their faith. They didn't cower and say, well, you know, religion's just simply a matter of opinion that's best kept to oneself. No, like St. Mark, they got right up in Caesar's grill and said, you think you're all powerful? You think you're the Son of God? Not you, but Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the one who has true power, not you. Throughout his gospel, Mark is constantly showing that it's Jesus who has the power, that it's Jesus who will overcome the forces of evil at work in the world. Notice that St. Mark doesn't begin his gospel by giving an account of the Nativity or by providing a genealogy. This is the only gospel that doesn't begin with the origins of Christ. Rather, St. Mark begins his account with John the Baptist. But unlike the other synoptic gospel writers, Mark focuses not on John the Baptist's call to repentance, but in his role as the forerunner of the Messiah, his role as the herald of the Christ. See, Mark is concerned not with the origins of Jesus, but with his power. And so he focuses on John's statement that one mightier than I is coming after me, one who will baptize you not with water, but with the Holy Spirit. St. John's proclamation drives home Mark's point. Jesus is the one to whom all power has been given. Jesus is the one who rose from the dead, not John the Baptist and not Caesar. And therefore, we give our allegiance to Jesus and not to Caesar. You know, so often I think we get this backwards in our modern world. Rather than giving our allegiance primarily to Christ and to his body, the church, the manner in which we live our lives demonstrates that our allegiance is to the secular world. And this indeed is a sad state of affairs for the Catholic Church. See, rather than going to our death with conviction, proclaiming that Jesus is the one who has power over everything, including death itself, we tend to acquiesce. And we're only beginning to see the havoc that this acquiescence has created. Certainly we see some of the sour fruits of our timidity when statistics show us that only 35% of Americans who identify themselves as Catholic take their obligations to attend Mass every Sunday or to attend Mass on holy days seriously. Or when statistics show that American Catholics don't differ significantly from the general population on really serious moral issues such as abortion, same-sex marriage, contraception, research on embryonic stem cells. You see, far from fearlessly proclaiming the gospel as the members of the early church did, it seems that modern-day Catholics have yielded to secular modernity and have given their allegiance primarily to a worldly mindset and then placed what little remains of their faith on top of that. But if we take sacred scripture seriously, then what we need to do is the exact opposite. See, over and over again, Scripture tells us that we human beings do not think as God does, that our ways are not God's ways. And this means that we can't give precedence to our secular way of thinking, but instead we need to yield to what God has definitively revealed to us. Our worldview isn't one that can start with us and work its way to God. That is to say, we can't say, the God I believe in is like X, Y, or Z. See, if we do that, we essentially state that God is subject to our human way of thinking. And what we end up with is not God, but an idol. An idol, mind you, that looks quite a bit like ourselves. Instead, what we need to do is we need to ask, who has God definitively revealed himself to be? And how does that revelation impact my relationship with the world around me? In other words, we don't define God, but we accept who God has revealed himself to be. And then once we accept who God has revealed himself to be, we must allow that revelation to transform our lives. Friends, Advent is a time when we await not for Christmas, but for the second coming of Jesus. And while we await his second coming, we're reminded that our allegiance is due to him, because he is the one to whom all power belongs. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And if we truly believe that, if we truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then our Advent, our waiting for the coming of the Messiah, requires us to prepare ourselves not by conforming God to our own will, but by living lives that have been transformed by God's revelation to us. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.